So, as we've been reminded already this morning, when Julie put up the thing about the theme of what today was all about, it didn't take very long to recognise that we're all different. Anybody never noticed that? We're all made differently. If you're a man, put your hand up. If you're a woman, put your hand up. We are different. You never noticed that? I think we have. Some of us are aware of different colours. We're all moderately white, but even within our whiteness, there are different degrees of whiteness. Some of us tan easier than others, and some of us, quite frankly, could do with a tan. We're all different. And some of our friends from other cultures and other countries and other backgrounds might be a whole lot darker than we might be. We're all different. Some of us are taller. Anybody here like me over 6 foot? Just. Who used to wear higher heels at school so they could get away with being a little bit taller? Don't go there. And who is anybody under 5 foot? No? Okay, but we're all different heights. If we were to stand in a long line, we would not all be a uniform height. We are different. There's a theme emerging here, isn't there? Although it's good not to kind of point out differences, I did want to point out that apparently, according to legend, that Napoleon, Hitler and Genghis Khan were all apparently shorter than average. Watch out for the little ones. Hey, Gwyneth. So this morning I want us to think about some of the hallmarks about what makes people different. Can you think of an outcome where in our world difference has not become a reason to point the finger and judge? Is there any way that we differentiate between peoples and that hasn't become a way of abusing some or glorifying others? Difference is something that we really struggle with as people. And we use it to develop prejudices. All tall people are fantastic. I'm just putting that in there. That's subliminal. All. You can pick whatever you like. Are awful. We categorise people when we see difference and we judge one another because of those differences. And we make some out to be sinners and some out to be saints without ever getting to know the person who inhabits the body. Have you not noticed that if you were to cut your palm of the palm of every person who's alive today, we're all the same. We all bleed red blood. Apart from the royals, of course, because they've got blue blood. We'll distinguish that. No. They haven't. It's all red blood. We're all the same on the inside. Lungs and hearts and bones. We're all the same on the inside. It's only on the outside that we appear to be different. And so we need to understand that differences can lead to the inclusion of some and the exclusion of others. Difference gets wielded like a weapon. You've only got to follow anything on social media for a short period of time to see the way that people behave in the face of difference. And so this morning we're going to look at one kind of difference that can lead to inclusion and exclusion. And that's all to do with the way that we feel energized. Who's feeling energized right now? Who's feeling the lack of energy right now? Who needs waking up? Right, on your feet. Yeah, you asked for it. Okay, on three. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Three times. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Head, shoulders, knees, toes. Turn around. Oh, come on. Are you feeling more energized? No, you're just feeling embarrassed. We're all energized in different ways. Some of us are energized by the world around us. For some people, what we've just done there would be really energizing. They go, hey, I've been moving and I've been engaged and I've been doing something and it's involved music and song and action, and I feel energized by being in a room full of people, and I feel energized because life is great. And some of us will be looking at me with absolute horror. I did see that look, Julian. With absolute horror. And you are saying, you have got to be joking. Because I'm energized not by what I put out there, but what I draw from what's in here. And of course, the former group we call extroverts. And the latter group we call introverts. The clue is in the X means out and the in means in. Can I spell it any more clearly? So some of us are energized by the what's out there and we draw it into ourselves. Some of us are energized by what's in here that we keep within here. We are different and we need to understand a little bit about that difference. And so this morning we're going to look at some hallmarks of what makes an introvert an introvert, an extrovert an extrovert, and how we might recognize the differences. And I'm going to be asking each one of us to think about where we probably fit best. And then I'm going to think about that in terms of energy, in terms of community, and in terms of spirituality. About how our different energy types can hinder or help our sense of being with God. And then I want to lay out a challenge for both types to consider. Are you ready for that? That's an extrovert. So extroverts are energized by time spent with people. They draw energy from the people around them, from the things that are happening around them, from the world that is around them. They are, if you like, an energy sponge, absorbing, soaking it up, drawing it in. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are loud party-goers and they're always kind of shouting and they're always there as the life and soul of the party. That's not what an extrovert means, though that's often how we think of it in contemporary culture. They might be like that. Though often some of those loud people might actually be introverts on the inside. We can't judge. But what it means to be an extrovert is that we are fed by spending time with other people. Conversation, discussions, debates, all those kind of things. When we're talking with somebody, and preferably several people at once, we are drawing energy from those conversations. But more than that, extroverts tend to approach the world around them with curiosity and questions. They tend to be open-minded about the world and the experiences that they're encountering. They tend to be more transparent emotionally. You know what they're feeling as well as what they're thinking. Because they tend to speak without necessarily thinking it all through first. Why are you looking at me like that? And then they process what they're thinking as they hear themselves speak it out. And then they go, oh no, that's not quite what I meant. What I meant to say was this. Well, actually, no, that's not quite right either. Actually, it's more like that. That's a sign of an extrovert. Somebody who's doing their thinking, their processing, and living their emotions out there. Out of themselves. X, meaning out of. Introverts, on the other hand, are energized by time spent alone. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're a loner or lonely. It just means that they draw the energy that they need from themselves, from within, introverts. They enjoy living some kind of isolation from the world around them. Introverts tend towards solitude, quiet, contemplation. But more than that, introverts tend to approach the world with a more closed or fixed idea about how the world should be, and can be wary of new experiences and tend to be more opaque emotionally. We can't really see what's going on in their minds and in their hearts. Introverts tend not to speak until they've processed their thoughts in their own mind first. And then when they speak out their thoughts, they're unlikely to be swayed by discussion or debate. I know what I think. So let's recognise that we're all on a spectrum. At one end, there are the extreme extroverts. And at the other end, there are the extreme introverts. And we can be anywhere on that spectrum. And some people find themselves in a place that's much more in the middle between those two things. So as I've explained a little bit about how people are energised, has one of those inside of you gone, oh, well, that explains a little bit about how I am? So is there anybody that wants to say this morning, actually, I identify with being an extrovert. I live life out there and I'm energised by people and I don't think about it. I just flop it out there and I kind of see what happens. Anybody identify with being an extrovert?
I'm changing though as I'm getting older.
Ah, we'll come to that maybe in a bit.
Yeah.
So there are four of us that have said, oh sorry, five. Five of us that have said we identify more strongly than not with being an extrovert. That's a really, 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 can I stress how many reallys are involved in this conversation? A really important observation. Who identified this morning with being an introvert?
Bear in mind you're flopping this out.
Yeah. Who's still processing whether they're an introvert or an extrovert? Put your hand up to being an introvert. Anybody feel that they're somewhere balanced in the middle? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you now, from my observations, that most of you who think you're balanced between the two or not, you are introverts. Just telling you. Not necessarily always true, but mostly true. Okay, I want to acknowledge 75% of the people in this room are more introverted than extroverted. And five of us are more extroverted than introverted. What does that mean? Well, it means that the way that we gather is shaped largely, though not wholly, by those who tend towards an introverted way of being. We tend to focus on reflection, contemplation. We tend to keep our thinking in here and not out there. And our emotional connection tends to be opaque and not obvious. Now, the really important thing to note is that extrovert and introvert, neither of them are bad. We are all made in the image of God. There isn't a right way of being and a wrong way of being. We are that which we are, which is what the name Yahweh in Hebrew means. I am that which I am. We are that which we are. And how we ended up where we've got to is shaped by all sorts of different things in our growing up. Some of it is innate. Some of it is because of life experience. Some of it's because of opportunity. Some of us recognise, thank you Lisa for pointing this out, that as we age, we might change. Because we go through stages of life. And in different seasons, we can behave in different ways and be energised in different ways. In the 2 years that I took out before coming here, I was extremely introverted because I needed to be recouping energy that I'd expended. I had to attend to my introverted self for healing to take place. But as you've experienced, most of the time, over the last couple of years I've been here, I've been able to attend to my extrovert self, as well as my introvert self. We're not fixed. It can... And in different places we might find ourselves energized in slightly different ways. So maybe at home and at work, maybe in church, we behave in different ways. We're energized in different ways. We've got different needs that are being met at different times. We're all on a spectrum somewhere. And we need to recognize that. And I want us to recognize that we're all individuals when we come to this. But equally, the generalizations are helpful in understanding types and in working out how we might proceed. The next thing I want to mention is that it's not just about us. So we've just had an opportunity to identify, or not, where we sit on that spectrum. And often when we look at tools like, for example, Myers-Briggs, which is one of the ways that we can explore whether we're introverted or extroverted, we tend to focus on self. We tend to focus on how I am and what I'm experiencing and the way that I'm energized. But are we sitting in this room on our own this morning? No. So the way that we're energized has to be understood in the light of those around us. Not just in the light of ourselves. I've said this before, I'll say it again, you're going to hear me talk about this time and time and time and time and time again if you're not sick with it already. It is not about you. The gospel, the message of Jesus is not about you. On your own. It is about us. As we gather together. Somebody observed, one quack once observed, that the most important thing about church is there's no I in it. But it is centered around you. The other. And so we need to understand and we need to respect and we need to think about not just how we're energized, but how the people around us energized. I'm going to ask a really blunt question. If you're an extrovert this morning, how often do you feel on a Sunday morning your energy levels increase? If you feel your energy levels increase on a Sunday morning, a typical Sunday morning, put your hand up. If you're an introvert, do you find on a typical Sunday morning that you come away feeling energized from within, from your experience? If you feel that's your experience as an introvert, would you put your hand up? That's really interesting. I've kind of got one extrovert and one introvert and nobody else. What are we doing here? Because if we're not being fed, if we're not being energized, what are we being? I'll give you a clue. No, it's not. It's the opposite. I'll give you a clue. We have one of them in the kitchen. And when you fill it up with water, you pull a certain thing out, it disappears down the drain. If we're not being fed, we're being drained. It's costing us energy. Who goes away from a Sunday morning and has to go and have a lie down? Who comes away and say, I crave to spend time with people? Those are the extroverts. We're all different. We all have different needs. But it's not just about me. It's about us. And the questions that it leads us to ask include things like, how might we need to modify our actions in the light of what we've just been talking about to get our message heard? 80% of us introvert, 20% of us extrovert. Population out there, roughly speaking, 50-50. Extroverts are underrepresented in the church. How might we need to modify our actions to get our message heard? How might others need to modify their actions to be heard by you? Because I'm going to tell you now, the way that introverts work and the way that extroverts work will be miscommunication an awful lot of the time. How, when we gather together, do we add to our energy levels so that we are feeding those who are energized as extroverts and those who are energized as introverts? Or how and where, when we gather together, do we see our energy disappear down the drain? What drains you when we come together? These are really important questions, because if we're not sure about the impact these kinds of things are having on our gathering together, then how on earth can we expect to understand how they're impacting those who might walk through the door for the first time? So let's think, that's lots of psycho mumbo jumbo and people's theories about all this kind of stuff, but what does the Bible tell us? What was Jesus like? Was Jesus an introvert? Or was Jesus an extrovert? Well, let's find out, shall we? If you've got a Bible to hand, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 14. We're going to read from verse 13 to verse 23. 14, Matthew 14, from verse 13 to 23. So just put it in a bit of context, Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist has been killed. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat, privately, to a solitary place. What's that beginning to sound like?
Introvert.
Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Darn it. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. What does that sound like? An extrovert. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." What does that sound like the disciples were like? Introvert. "We don't want to be bothered with this. Send them away." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." What's Jesus now demanding of them? Extrovert. "We've only got 5 loaves and of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Jesus is now behaving like a
introvert.
Okay. So in this passage, and consistently through the Gospels, we see Jesus balance his introvert and his extrovert selves. Jesus demonstrates that we can and must be both. Because his ministry would not have been effective unless it had both introvert characteristics and extrovert characteristics. How might it be that Jesus can utilize both? Well, the answer, I think, is very, 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 very simple. Jesus drew his energy from where? Yes. He drew his energy from the Spirit of God, which he found to be at work in the people as he ministered to them, as he taught them, as he spent time with them. He saw God at work and drew his energy from the Spirit at work. And in isolation, as he withdrew from people, Jesus connected with his Father and was energized by the Spirit at work within. Jesus attended to both his introvert self and his extrovert self. Neither had priority. Both were integrated, and therefore both were appropriately fed, and therefore ultimately Jesus was effective. So let's just think for a moment about our spiritual life here at NWCC. What type of spirituality are we tending for our gatherings to feed? Introverted or extroverted? So I just picked a few at random. I've left some things out. I've not, you know, tried to go into every area. This is just to illustrate. A monthly prayer meeting.
Introvert.
It's an opportunity for quiet, for reflection, to step back. Sure, but it's primarily extrovert. Not entirely at one end of the spectrum, a little bit back, but mostly centred around the needs of those who are more introverted and not those more extroverted. We're withdrawing from the stuff of life in order to pray. I want to make it clear, that's not a bad thing. We're just being clear and obvious about who's being fed through these kinds of ministries. A discipleship group. Introvert or extrovert?
Extrovert.
Why?
Because you're going to meet with others?
Yes. Because you're gathering people together, and in the context of the gathering, you are discussing. You are debating. You're sharing. You're discussing the stuff of life. And as we discuss the stuff of life, so we're expecting the God stuff to happen in the midst. Something like an outreach program, like the Matinee Film Club or the Children's Club, the CC49. Who does that tend to draw? Introverts or extroverts? Extroverts?
Would the films then not be more introverts?
Absolutely, thank you very much. So it's a mixture. So there's a time to be in quiet as you're watching a film. Nobody's demanding anything of you. You're just being. And as you're watching a film, so that might be energizing for an introvert. There's also an opportunity over tea and cakes or tea and or juice and popcorn. There's an opportunity to talk to people. And that's an extrovert activity. To share, to discuss, to connect pastorally maybe. And so something like both of those activities bridged the gap between introverts and extroverts. What about normal Sunday worship?
Should be,
but as we've begun to think about, my sense is it is much more inclined to introvert than it is towards extrovert. And I would suggest that the way we've responded to that already this morning confirms that it's something that connects with and feeds primarily those who are more introverted than extroverted. What about our alternative gatherings, when we're doing stuff either for people or when we're out walking or whatever it might be that we're doing? Yeah, I think it can be both. I think it can be either. Some people would engage with those activities in a quiet way. So decorating the hall next door, some of us were there chatting as we're doing, and others were doing and being self-contained and quiet and not really contributing to the conversation. It fed both. Going for a walk, some of us are chat. Don't look at me. And there are others who are walking quietly and listening rather than contributing to the conversation. They have opportunities in the same space to feed both, introverts and extroverts. We can be quiet, or we can engage, or a mixture of both. So here's the thing that we need to be thinking about. Which mode, introvert or extrovert, did Jesus access for his missional ministry to the people in the passage that we read? No. Extrovert. His missional ministry mode was extrovert. It was being with the people, engaging with the people.
But it came from
people. We haven't got there yet. That's an extrovert who's thinking ahead of time. His actual action, his time spent in the moment, connecting with people, is utilising his extrovert. No, some of it would have been draining him, but some of it was clearly energising him, because he would go for hours and hours and hours. He was driven by compassion. He was driven by need. He was responding in the moment. What mode did Jesus access to disciple his disciples?
Extrovert.
Mostly. Primarily. Yeah, but when he was together with them, primarily, it's gathering, teaching, giving. Yeah? Extrovert. Yes, we need to understand and we need to recognise in the passage that we've just been reading, Jesus found time to be away from people. Time away from the crowds, time away from his disciples even, to attend to his introverted self's needs, to spend time alone with God. Yes, absolutely, no question. Being introvert, being extrovert are not, either of them are not bad in and of themselves. But we need to recognise that Jesus' approach to ministry, in terms of mission, in terms of discipleship, were centred around his extrovert self. But his spirituality, when he was away from the people, was centred around his introvert self. Jesus gave himself and then withdrew to be re-energized. Jesus didn't seek to be energized in quiet in the midst of stuff. Or when he did, and that was interrupted, he switched modes. And it may be that for some of us, what you're hearing this morning can sound pretty much like a call to take up the cross for the sake of the gospel. Because when we think about developing mission, when we think about developing discipleship, there is, for an introvert, a cost in gathering together. There is a demand, a drain, that we will experience. And the challenge for those of us that are more introverted is the challenge to become more physically and emotionally and spiritually available to people when and how they need it, not when and how it suits us. When and how they need it, not when and how it suits us. And for some of us, that is going to be really, really tough. But here's the challenge and here's the hope. We need to discover in our ministry and discipleship mode to be fed by God. To be re-energized by God. As we give out to be replenished by God in that moment. And not to become exhausted by giving and giving and giving and then having nothing left and having to run away in a retreat to then be refed and re-energized to come back and do it all over again. We can't neglect the extrovert for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. But neither, if we're an extrovert, must we neglect the time spent alone. The time spent in isolation, being fed directly by God. For those of us that are drawn to being with people, we can't substitute that. We can't allow that to be the only part of our diet, because we're not growing up in a balanced way. We can end up with a spirituality that is about craving the attention of others and not actually about being with God. And so we need to be able to access the presence of God in the moments when we are alone. Neither introvert nor extrovert on their own is what we are called to be, but we are called to be integrated people. Christ-like spirituality is not to be only found in the introvert spiritual activities like prayer, reading the Bible on our own, or even reflective corporate worship. Christ-like spirituality is found first in being with the poor, the homeless, the broken, the hurting. Not because we want to fix them or we want to do good for them, but simply that we might see the presence of God and we might learn from them about his love and his presence in the midst of their brokenness. And after we've spent time amongst the poor and the hungry and the broken, then we can take time to listen to what God is showing us and what God is doing, to reflect on his grace and his goodness, to understand his word in a deeper way. We're not called to a simple, pious religion. We are called to be Christ-like in our everyday experiences. That doesn't mean that we're called to a noisy and exuberant celebration every minute of every day, in which the needs of the world are ignored or glossed over or explained away in theological jargon, because we don't see the workings of God from a place of comfort and cozy piety. We are called, like Jesus, to first get our hands dirty, our feet dirty, by walking where God is taking us and being amongst the people that God is leading us to. Serving others is the only food for spiritual contemplation. Being with is the prerequisite for withdrawing from. So, what does that look like for us? What is the Spirit of God prompting within you? If you're an extrovert, you know that question, the answer to that question already, or at least you're prepared to flop it out. If you're an introvert, you're going to want to ponder that and bring it back next week. Can we cope with a place of difference? Or are we indifferent to the plight of the world? How are you and how are we going to respond to the work and presence of God today? Any responses? Answers on a postcard, email, Instagram, I'm not on Instagram, WhatsApp, or conversation as we travel are all perfectly valid. But let's not ignore the challenge.